It is good to be up here with you this morning. For those of you who are visiting for the first time and you went to our website and you looked at the staff, I am not Pastor Eric Sparman. That's not who I am. I'm Pastor Peter Frost. I have the privilege of being the high school pastor here, and it's good to be with you this morning. Last weekend, I was not here. I was actually at Covenant Pines Bible Camp, which Dave was speaking about, and we took a group of about 20 people from ECC, plus there was some other students either up there volunteering as counselors, past ECC people who were up there, and so these are kind of just a few of the quick pictures. It's worth noting, there's several students in those pictures that their time at Covenant Pines was the first time that they probably heard a really clear articulation that there's a God who knows them, who loves them, and who desires to bring their life into this place of kind of flourishing. And so anytime we have a chance to get multiple voices at the table, we can get out of our normal rhythms and hear from amazing speakers at a place like Covenant Pines. It's just really, really good. So Dave, thank you for the ministry that you're doing there. Also, that was not my son Eli squawking when he shouted out to Eli. Eli was bouncing in the back smiling, okay? So just gotta say that one too. We believe in camp. We believe in things that break us out of the normal rhythms and give us the ability to kind of lean into what God's doing. But this morning, last week, we kicked off a series that was just called, it's called the kind of Life in the Spirit. And Eric preached on living by the Spirit. And this week, I have the joy of preaching about serving by the Spirit. And the text for this morning's sermon is going to be found in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. So if you have a Bible or Bible app, like Lindsay mentioned, feel free to turn there now. Last week, as Eric launched into this, he looked at a letter that the apostle Paul wrote to a church in Galatia. So Paul is this person who didn't believe in Jesus, who wanted to do his very best to snuff out this idea that God had become a human, had died on a cross, had raised from the dead. And Paul was going around trying to knock this idea off the face of the earth. And then a resurrected Jesus appeared to him on the road, changed Paul's life. And Paul became this person who then wrote letters to different churches that were trying to follow Jesus in order to kind of keep them going in the right direction. So last week, Eric looked at the letter written to the church in Galatia, and it kind of looked at what is the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit's present in your life, what does that look like? And there's a list of things that are usually present in our lives in different measure. And as the Spirit kind of takes over, a different set of characteristics emerges. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And so we look to be formed into those things in increasing measure. And that was specifically what the church in Galatia needed to hear. They had these practices that needed to be brought into, this is what a life that's being informed by the Spirit of God looks like. And then this letter that we're looking at this morning, Paul wrote to a different church in Corinth. In this church in Corinth, they needed to hear about what it is to serve by the Spirit also. But their reason was very different. The reason that they needed to hear, and this is almost, if we can, this is the umbrella that the whole thing fits under this morning. They were using the giftings or the blessings or the things in their life that God had given for their own personal gain. They were taking and hoarding, and whatever they had, they were using it for themselves, not looking out for other people. And so, church, if we can just put this umbrella over it this morning, the passage that Lindsay read talks about that those who know God will love as God has loved. And it's very clear from this passage that anything that has to do with spiritual gifts needs to sit under the umbrella of it's used to love other people well. Are you with me? It's not used for personal gain. It's not used to get ahead. It's not used to stand out. It's used to minister and care for other people well. You with me? All right, so that's the umbrella that we're going to sit under for this morning. The other thing that's worth noting before we jump in, raise your hand if you've ever been to a wedding. Eli, yeah, there's one that hasn't maybe. If you've been to a wedding, you've probably heard some passage read, and they'll say, and our next scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not, anybody? Right? I think that was read at my wedding, right? I don't know, we don't know. But if you look at, that's from 1 Corinthians 13. This text is from 1 Corinthians 12. And at the end, we're not going to see it this morning, but the end of chapter 12, Paul says, I will show you the most excellent way, and he bridges into love. And then following this little thing on love, he goes back to how these spiritual gifts, which we're going to talk about, play out. it's super important that we recognize that this passage that shows up at weddings is actually primarily to be kind of what bookends how we do life as a church together. That this love is how we're supposed to do life as a church together. With that, let's jump in. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it begins like this. Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," pause. Spiritual gifts, so last week Eric looked at the fruits of the Spirit, just kind of things that the Spirit brings. This is a slightly different bucket than that. This is spiritual gifts. And spiritual gifts is something that, as Christians, what we believe and what we've seen, what I've personally experienced, what many of you have experienced, is that God actually gives specific giftings to specific people. At the end of kind of the message this morning, we'll throw a list up there, not comprehensive, but just kind of a starting list that shows what those are. But spiritual gifts are specific manifestations, specific things, outpourings given to people. And the word for spiritual gifts, when it shows up in Scripture, there's two different words. And I'm going to make you guys say it with me, because participation is fun. The first word is pneuma. Everyone say pneuma. Pneuma. And the second word is charismata. Everybody say charismata. So you have pneuma and you have charismata. And those two words, they kind of orient us to how spiritual gifts work. And it's like this. The first would be pneuma. It's that it's actually a specific outpouring of God's Spirit, meaning it's given. It shows up and it kind of comes and rests on us. We'll talk more about that as we go. And the second, charismata, has to do with it's who God's made us to be. It's in us, and when we apply it for the common good of the church, it begins to show up as a spiritual gift. So one is this kind of directly dropped by God. The other is as God made us, he put it in us, but we apply it in a specific way. So spiritual gifts encompasses both specific manifestations and just who we are. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I've got to pause one more time. I swear we won't pause for every phrase this whole time, but we have to pause. Brothers and sisters is very important. Throughout time, there has been a desire to differentiate. Well, these gifts can only be male-specific gifts, and these gifts are female-specific gifts. When you look at this passage of 1 Corinthians 10 through 14, you find that actually all of the gifts are present in all people. This is a really important deal, because as a side note, when I was in high school, I ended up paralyzed from the neck down on life support for 40 days, and it was a crazy story, and if you want to hear it, you can ask me another day, but you can ask me about it. And I also got Bell's palsy, which is just a neuronal thing that paralyzes half of your face. And so this half of my face could smile, and this half of my face could not smile. And I just got to name this. I like my face better when both halves are working. All right? So when it comes to spiritual gifts, if we were to say this half can only have this and this half can only have this, specifically when it comes to gender, because that's how it's been parsed throughout time, you end up with a disfigured face. You end up with a disfigured view of what the body of Christ is supposed to look like. We'll come back to that too. Let's just keep going. I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Spirit. So clearly there was something going on in the Corinthian church where they were trying to figure out, is this a gift from God? Is this not? And Paul just links it this way. He says, if they can say Jesus is Lord, this is kind of the first confession of faith that we see recorded in Scripture. If we can say that Jesus is Lord, we know that that's something from God. And saying Jesus is Lord would have been understood in this way by the people who were saying it. Lord would have been, this is my superior. This is somebody who is above me. He knows better than me. He leads better than me. He wants better than me. He desires better than me. He's superior in every single way. Jesus is Lord. Better than I am. And also would say Jesus is Lord, meaning authority, meaning that person who knows better, does better, sees better, also has the ability to speak into my life. I will give that sort of authority. So if there's spiritual gifts, they're given by God, they're put in us, they're kind of dropped on us, they're for all people, people who would say Jesus has God has become knowable in the person of Jesus who lived, died, rose from the dead. When you have that, that sets the stage for the rest of the morning under the umbrella of love. Now let's get moving. All right, Paul goes on. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So we see a repetition that Paul's building here, right? He's building it up. There's varieties of gifts, varieties of services, varieties of activities. That should be good news, because when I look around this room, we don't all look the same. We don't all have the same gifting. We don't all approach things in the same way. We don't all have the same experiences that allow us to walk up and see the same thing. And that's good news, because there's a variety of gifts and a variety of things that God wants to do in us. But this is also equally important. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God. Paul does something super interesting here. He decides to link the showing up of the gifts of the Spirit into a triune God. Last week, Eric touched on the Trinity and just kind of mentioned that God exists in Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Again, we see Paul doing that same thing here. Spirit, Lord, that's Jesus, and God, the Father. Trinity implies relationship. God exists in perfect relationship with God's self. And so as Paul links the gifts to this triune relationship God, he again is putting it to say these gifts are to play out well in relationship. These gifts need to play out well within relationship the same way that God exists perfectly in relationship. And he goes on, he said, God activates all of them in everyone. Now, this is super important for us to name, and we'll come back to it, but it's God who does the activating. God is the one who brings these things to be. It's not that we earn them. It's not that we merit them. It's not that we've done something or haven't done something, and therefore we're given certain gifts or not other gifts. And knowing that and holding that framework helps us to understand the second half of the chapter a lot more, when Jesus is saying it's actually we lift up those that are overlooked as being more important. It's not that a certain part of the body of Christ gets lifted up as being important, not a certain gift being more important than another gift. It's actually that if God gives all of them because God wants to, you can't then create a hierarchy of what a gift is or what a gift isn't. And I think that's good news, because sometimes in my profession, I'll hear people say, well, I can't pray because I can't sound like so-and-so, or I couldn't preach because I can't preach like so-and-so, but I can serve. Well, that's good, but don't be bashful about it. Serve. That's just as important, right? It's right there. If we don't have people serving and praying and preaching and all of these different ministering, evangelizing, if we don't have all these different gifts, it's just a broken down body. We'll keep moving. The last thing that's super important, to each is given. Paul wants us to know that each person, if you have said, Jesus is Lord, like I believe that God sees me, God knows me, God loves me, God desires good for me, not just me, but for all of people. He wants us to join him in building his kingdom in this place, in this world. For each person who confesses that, there's a gift that's given. Church, nobody is outside of that. I don't know where you find yourself this morning. I don't know if maybe you feel like you don't have something to offer. If that's what you've been feeling or holding on to, I gotta name it. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell that Satan is using to keep you from doing what God has asked you to do. And to think that you couldn't do these things that God has put in front of you, oh, that's to live as less than how we were created to live. Each person is given a gift for the common good. It's not about us individually. It's about us together. And he goes on, and we're just going to move really quickly through this. He gives his first, there's three different places in Scripture where kind of Paul gives a list of different giftings, and this is one of them, so we're just going to move through it. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles by the same Spirit, to another prophecy, to another discernment of spirits, to another various kind of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Paul's just going through and listing a bunch of different gifts that show up in people's lives when the Spirit is present. And then he says this. This is important. That's why he says it twice. He said it in verse 7. He says it again here. All of these are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each individually just as the Spirit chooses. Everybody's invited. God's doing the choosing. It's for the common good. God activates these in people. Paul then goes on to make this super clear, and he uses this image of body, which I referenced earlier. And if you've ever said the church, you've ever heard the phrase, the church is the body of Christ, this is one of the primary places that that phrase comes from. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. He's saying this, all of the giftings come together to have this unity. And then Paul names a very specific issue that was present in the Corinthian church. He says, Greeks or Jews, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. He's saying this, it doesn't matter the social class that you come from. It doesn't matter the ethnic background that you carry. It doesn't matter any of these markers that would get put on you. When you show up as the family, as the body of Christ, no hierarchy, no difference. The brother of Jesus, James, when he wrote something that's recorded in now the New Testament, he said, church, don't show favoritism. He's saying the same thing in a different way. That when you get together, some of you will claim a seat at the table because that's what you're always given. Others of you will sit in the corner because that's what you're always given. He says, not so with my people. We're to be one body. We're to be one body. Eliminate any sort of difference, implied, real, implicit, systemic, whatever it is, eliminate that in the church. This afternoon, when you're wondering what you want to do with your Sunday, I'd recommend finishing out the chapter and reading about how Paul says the body is to interact with each other. I'll leave that one for you. As we kind of close this morning, I think there's a couple different things that I think God has for us. The first is this. The next slide is just going to be a list of a bunch of different gifts. Again, it's not intended to be comprehensive, but rather a kind of a starter, something that gets us thinking about, God, how have you made me? Or is there something specific that you've put into me through your Spirit that you want to utilize for the common good in our midst? Okay? And then from there, I just want to look at maybe some specific applications of what this means for us. So here's a list. This is pulled straight from 1 Corinthians that we just looked at. The end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 has another list, and Romans 12 has another list, if any of you are interested. And I just threw some of these up here, and I highlighted a couple. I just want to name them because I think they can get misunderstood. So I'll let you guys read. Well, let's just read them out. It seems fun. It won't take too long. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues, apostles, prophets, teachers, ministering, encouragement, generosity, leadership, compassion, hospitality, evangelism. Look at all these different things. Man, we all got somewhere to belong in there. And some of you are like, oh man, just don't make me have discernment. I don't want to have discernment. My life, I don't want to have to deal with that. Or some of you are like, I need to meet somebody with discernment. I need somebody with discernment in my life because look at my life. It is a mess. I cannot discern on my own. Three gifts I want to just talk about real quick. Faith. That's not, in this context, that's not simply faith that Christians would say that they have. This wouldn't be faith that kind of somebody says, I believe in Jesus, I have faith in Jesus. This is the kind of faith that you've met these people. They're in the midst of the worst storm of life that they've seen. Something unthinkable has happened. And you just look and you say, how is their faith not shaking? And you talk to them, and it's not just that visibly it's not shaking. It's that actually deep down there's some sort of spiritual gift there, that they have a faith to trust God even when God doesn't, without being shaken. They have a faith to trust God when they have a situation and a circumstance that they know is never going to change, and yet they still trust that somehow God is good. That's a specific sort of faith that some people just carry. I've met some people like that in hard seasons of my own life, and one of them told me once, don't worry, you can borrow some of my faith. And I think that that is a great example of the body of Christ. When I couldn't think of how I would get through, they said, don't worry, even if he doesn't. Wow, you can borrow some of mine. Second one is this, apostles. Apostles would be understood today probably as lead pastors, or as church planters, or as missionaries. And it's really important to highlight apostles, because one of the people included of the list in the list of apostles in the New Testament is a woman named Junia. Often in broader culture, you'll hear conversations of, can women occupy these different offices, or is there a space? Even this week, if any of you follow Christian news like I sadly do, you would have seen this kind of rear its neck again. And it's really important, if we don't want to have a disfigured half face, that we recognize that all gifts are given to all people, and we recognize that resistance to that we feel is likely more culturally formed than scripturally formed. We got to bring that to God. All right. I would say this as a male, as a white male pastor working with other female pastors. It's not my voice that makes this true. It's not because I say it that this becomes any more true. But I hope that I can add a voice that continues to make it more easy, or more equal, or more approachable. And I would say this too, even if I can proclaim that, and I'm sure Lindsay could say something about this, but please don't. I don't always operate in a way that would show that that's true. I recognize that my belief and my behavior don't always line up. And I feel comfortable saying that because I think we all can recognize that in our own lives. So that one's important to name, though, because we don't want to have a disfigured face. If we only got half the population preaching about something, we're going to be missing some pretty important things, y'all. Okay, next one, evangelism. Now, I highlight this one for this reason. I think sometimes evangelism feels scary. Like, people just don't want to evangelize. And so you see this and you go, oh, good, it's a spiritual gift. I don't have that one. Evangelism is a spiritual gift in the sense that for some people, these conversations show up all the time. For some people, every conversation they enter into or articulation of faith that they begin, they want it to be approachable and understandable for someone who has no understanding and no previous encounter. That's the gift of evangelism. It's a lens and a framing that sits above everything that we do, and it's important for us to remember that. We all are called to share the story of the difference God has made in our lives. There's just some people who have a specific gifting. As we close, I just want to name a few things for us. The same God activates all gifts in everyone. This is something we said. The gifts can be cultivations of pre-existing ability, or they can be brand new expressions. We're all called to use our gifts. In fact, to receive a gift of the Spirit and to not use it is to become like a muscle that's completely atrophied. Nobody wants to have saggy muscles. It's only a spiritual gift when it's used for the common good. Even if we begin to use our gifting, but we don't link the use of that to the people of God for the kingdom of God, not a spiritual gift. Three more and then we're done. One body with differing gifts necessitates the embrace of unity within diversity. For a while in the church, there's been this idea of kind of a homogenous growth principle. You get a lot of people who think like you, who see the world like you, you can get together, you can create momentum, you can move really quickly. Church, that is not what we see in Acts, that's not what God calls us to be. Recognizing that we have different gifts means we're going to chafe with certain people. Those who have knowledge and those who have faith might not understand each other right away. That's a good thing. We need to be sharpened. But one body with differing gifts necessitates this sort of embrace. This embrace will be within the people that are here. It's within the broader context of the global church, but we have to embrace unity within diversity. And the way to do that is this. Unity will require humility and mutual submission. Humility meaning recognizing I don't know it all, you don't know it all, we don't know it all, we need each other. And mutual submission that says, I just will choose to believe you and agree with you. Whew. Don't tell my wife I said that. Just kidding. That was self-deprecating and unneeded. And the last one is this. God's renewal means his body gets healthy and is doing healthy things. We're in a series, kind of we're in a three-year vision as a church about God's renewal. And God's renewal means that his body gets healthy and is doing healthy things. So here's the final call for us this morning. For some of us, I think for some of us, when we think about spiritual gifts or if we have them or what our expression looks like, there's just a feeling of woundedness. Maybe woundedness because of how spiritual gifts have been seen in the past. Maybe somebody told you, unless you have this gift, you're not a Christian. Or somebody said something in your life and spoke it over your life and you thought it was going to be true and it didn't pan out. There's woundedness. Or maybe it's just from life experience. But for those of us who are wounded, it means we got to get healthy. And here's the good and bad news. You don't get healthy alone for the common good, y'all. Second one is this. For those who have atrophied, it's time to re-engage. Some of you know that you have giftings, you know that you have callings, you know you have abilities, and you aren't actively seeking where you can utilize them. You're waiting for someone to find you. For those who have atrophied, it's time to re-engage. For those who are unsure about gifting, it's time to seek clarity. Clarity comes really in two ways, maybe three, but we'll go with two. The first one is this. It comes through God speaking it into your life, but I think that that one's more dangerous and less clear, ironically. I think that where it comes most clear is when God's people, because God is present there, speak it into your life. Clarity around gifting often comes through community. When you find yourself in relationships where people know you best, they can speak about how they see those giftings playing out in your life. And the last thing is for all of us. Don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. One body with differing gifts necessitates the embrace of unity within diversity. And we're called to be one body with differing gifts. May we have the humility and courage for mutual submission as God calls us to this great journey. Let me pray for us this morning. God, I praise you, Jesus, that in your body, meaning your physical body, not this church, but your physical body, we can look and we can see the manifestation of all that it is to be God. God, we see your compassion, we see your strength, we see your love, we see your justice. We see the gifts of ministering, we see the gifts of prophecy, we see the gifts of tongues. God, the Apostle Paul speaks of speaking in tongues. And so God, for all of these different things, for each person in this room, we just ask that you would encourage us, God, you would heal us, you would allow us to re-engage, you would allow us to find clarity, and you would allow us to do it together. Jesus, we pray these things in your name. Amen.